Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
So here's what I want to do. I want to speak to our parents just real briefly and just a time of open and transparency. Like, how many parents, like, you've ever hit that point in your parenting where you just had no idea what to do? Like, yeah, two hands for some. Like, sometimes, honestly, as a parent, you're just making up stuff and trying not to look scared and, like, act like you know what you're doing and just pray to God that it works. And so I wanted to share for you just this video that went viral of, can we just call her a strong-willed child? And this child was determined in her heart, in her mind, that her parents were dumb and that this onion is exactly like an apple. And so the parent decided to give them what they wanted. I think we have a video of it. All right, we get the point. So a couple things is, one, we need to pray right now for those parents, right? Because they're in for a long 18 years. But the second thing is this. She is oftentimes us. Like, where we just think we know better to God than God. And rather than bending our knee and saying, God, thy will be done in my life, God says, you refuse to bend the knee and trust me, then thy will be done in your life. And then the terrible part is she's just going to dig in, right? And she's harming herself and keeps going in because of pride and arrogance. She refuses to admit that her parents are right. And so we're often that person. And if you don't believe me, like sometimes God can seem like the angry old man who says, do what I said because I said so. But rather, and we've said this for years, is that the Ten Commandments are really about God leading us into human flourishing. And if you don't believe me, we did the water bucket challenge, and we had all these challenges. Well, I have a challenge for you. Just, I want you to take the next 30 days, and I want you to do the exact opposite of the Ten Commandments. And then 1 month from now, we'll convene here, and I just want to see how your life is going. Like, I want you to lie, right, to everybody. Come on, adultery. Come on, steal. And if you're not in prison, divorced, medicated, you know, I don't know what your thing is. Like, that will be your life. Why? Because the wisdom of God, the commands of God are about leading us to human flourishing and to length of days. And so today, actually, we're just calling this wisdom. It's the path of peace. The path of peace. And that's where we want to go. We're in a series we've called Casket Empty, and it's taking us through the Old Testament. Soon we're going to be making the jump, but I need you to know we're on the K for Kings. We're going to talk about the third king over Israel. His name is Solomon, and we'll talk about him. But he was called the wisest man who ever lived. And so I want to get you caught up to get us to Solomon in the story. And so we talked a couple weeks back about David. How many know Jenny Carter? If you weren't here last week, you need to get the podcast of that or something. She just crushed it. It was such an amazing service. But she referenced David, and so now I got to get you from David to Solomon, and so I'll attempt to do that. But before I do, many years ago, I played hockey, and so I did it like for the first 33 years of my life. That's like all I did, hockey. And so for those of you that have not been into an athletic or professional locker room, you might be surprised what you find in there. Because unlike you know what we watched before we went on the ice to practice for years? It wasn't UFC fighting. It wasn't even SportsCenter. We like to watch soap operas. Anybody? Like, they're a dying breed, but we would watch the Young and the Restless, see what Victor Newman was going to do again this week, and we would watch The Days of Our Lives, and we watched Patch and Kayla, and then, but now, it's funny, I can actually, I think the Y and the R is like the only lone survivor now, but I could flick that on, I'm like, I know what's going on right now, which is crazy, but here's the funny thing is, oh, by the way, just another little side note, is that the Y and the R had a very attractive woman on. Her name was Cassandra, whereby we named our daughter after her. We would find out years later that the name Cassandra means prophetess of doom, all right? Sorry, baby girl, right? We were young and dumb, and we just didn't know, all right? But you want to talk about drama, just open up your Bible, and you will get unbelievable drama, and we're going to get a bunch of that in David's life. It is a soap opera that begins to unfold because we get, remember the first king over Israel was Saul. Saul got filled up with pride. God removes Saul as being king, and he raises up David, whose name means the beloved of God. And then God blesses him and makes him king. And David begins to make it happen. From Goliath to conquering the Philistines to pushing out the borders of Israel, and the kingdom would grow and increase, and God's just adding to him everything David did. Well, David started to confuse what was going on with his own prowess, and the scripture is clear. It says it was time for kings to go out to war, and David said, you know, I'm going to hang back and just kind of just relax a little bit. I've been working real hard making it happen and all, and he hangs back and doesn't go out to war. Until suddenly he finds himself in his downtime. Women, look at me on this. A bored man is a dangerous man. You need to make sure your man is working, all right? And so that was for free. And David, in his boredom, goes to the top of a rooftop where he sees a woman bathing. And so he inquires of his servant, who is this woman? And God, in his infinite mercy, the servant says, that's Bathsheba. The name Bathsheba means voluptuous. I'll just let it ride right there. And then he goes on and he says, that's Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliab and the wife of Uriah. So did you see all the grace in God's roadblocks? And David tears through all of them, right? And so he's like, hey, man, that's a man's daughter. Hey, furthermore, that's somebody's wife. And David blows all of them. I don't care. Bring her to me. He lays with her, and she gets pregnant. Uh-oh. Hey, David needs to kind of get untangled from his sin. So what does he do? He calls Uriah from the front lines of battle, brings him in. He says, hey, assuming that he's going to go in and lie with his wife and it'd be problem solved. However, Uriah was more noble and honorable than David. And he says, how could I go to my wife when my brothers are on the front line defending Israel? I won't do that. David tries a few other things until finally he says, you know what? I'll put him to the front lines, to the heat of the battle, and then I'll let the Philistines handle him. He tells Joab, his commander, puts Uriah to the front of the battle. He's killed. Oh, poor Uriah. You know what I'll do to honor his life? I will take his wife Bathsheba as my own. Oh, she's pregnant. Problem solved. See, the only problem is you can hide sin from other people, but you can never hide it from God. And God whispers in the ear of the prophet Nathan. Nathan goes into the throne room of David and begins to unpack a story for him. And he says, King, there is a rich man. And this man was unbelievably rich with flocks and fields. And then there was a very poor man who had one sheep. And it was like a daughter to him that he loved. The rich man had a guest come in from another faraway land. And so rather than take from his own sheep, he took the lamb from the poor man, slaughtered it, and served it to it. Before Nathan could finish his story, David was so outraged that he slammed his fist on the throne and he says, you send that man to me, we will kill this man. And then Nathan, you're the man. Drama, right? We get that. And so we see the drama, and now suddenly David, convinced and just aware of his sin, he would pen Psalm 51, where he would say, Lord, against you and you only have I sinned. And he would repent. But how many know that the circumstances around our sin God will forgive, but that doesn't undo circumstances. And the child birthed in adultery would get sick and eventually die. David, after mourning, he would go in and he would comfort Bathsheba. They would lie together again and they would conceive a son. The son's name would be Solomon or Solomon. It's a play on the word shalom that means peace. That Solomon, his name, it means peace. And Solomon would do that. Like, he was going to become the third king over Israel. And during his reign, Israel would know unprecedented peace throughout his reign. That furthermore, Solomon, the man of peace, would build the temple in the city of peace, Jerusalem, or Jerusalem. And he would build the temple for Almighty God, where in this temple that humanity could make peace with God, atonement. And so the man of peace would be the place of peace where we could find peace with God. And one time a year that the high priest would go in and he would kill a lamb and it would reconcile or bring peace between man and God. Until ultimately one day the true Lamb of God would come and he would forever fulfill our need for other sacrifices. He would be the ultimate sacrifice. I heard one preacher put it this way, that the sacrifices of the Old Testament are like our credit card debt, where you pay the minimum balance on it. I mean, no, your debt's not paid for, but you're okay for a season. And that's what it was until the ultimate payment was made in Christ Jesus. And so so here's where maybe Solomon will begin to resonate with our lives, is what do you do with Solomon? He is the man of peace, can find no peace in his own life. Because he would fulfill all those things. But how many know he became king of Israel, scholars believe, between the age of 14 and 20 years old. And so I don't know if you're familiar with this situation, like the situation in the Middle East as it is now. It's been like that for thousands of years, just war, battle, destruction. And so what happens is he's a 14-year-old kid, and get this, there's people outside the borders of Israel that want him dead, want him crushed. And then it gets worse. You know, there's people inside the borders that want his throne. And so there's a little bit to deal with as a 14-year-old. Can we agree? Moving forward, then he also has to deal with the weight and the pressure of building a house for God. Like, there's a little bit of pressure there. You know, like Chip and JoJo, the big reveal. And people are like, oh, so great. I don't think God's going to do that. And so he's feeling the pressure. I better do this right. And so I think some of us can resonate with just being overwhelmed with life. Anybody? Just me? Like just stress, anxiety, no shalom in your home. How many then have ever been confronted with what the scriptures say in the New Testament? Like Jesus is going to say this, peace I give to you, my peace I leave to you, not as the world gives, give I thee. And then so there's a little part of that was like, I don't know what to do with that. Because I don't feel very peaceful, Jesus. I don't know how that works. And maybe you give it differently or it got lost in the mail or something. Then go on to 1 Peter. Peter's going to say, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. I'm like, how do you do that? Because I don't think I'm doing it right. Because when I throw it, it like boomerangs back and comes back stronger than before. And so here's what I wanted to submit to you. Solomon, overwhelmed with stress, anxiety, the weight of the world on his shoulders. And then what does he do? He goes to God in prayer. He sacrifices. He pursues God in prayer. And get this, God speaks to him in a dream. And he asks Solomon, Solomon, what can I do for you? What do you want? But here's what I love about what he did. He doesn't say, hey, change my circumstances or make this right. He doesn't seek to change his circumstances. He seeks to change himself. And he says this. He says, God, give me wisdom that I might lead so great a people. It's the word chokmah. Give me chokmah. Give me, it means skill. And so give me skill to navigate life well. Because here's the reality. We live in a Genesis 3 world. Like the world is broken and fallen. Like if you don't believe that, I mean, the only people that don't believe that are in the children's church right now. Okay? Right? We know the world's broken, so circumstances are going to be continually flying at us. But what Solomon says, hey, God, give me skill that I can navigate every circumstance and get through it and wind up winning and being on top. Give me chokmah for my life. And so Solomon becomes the wisest man who ever lived. It says this, that he wrote 3,000 proverbs. Proverbs are just pithy, wise sayings that kind of stick or should stick in your mind. And so I'll give you like one today. You mess with the bull, you get the horns. Very good. See, you understand pithy wisdom. And so he penned much of the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs 3:17, he's going to say this, that the way of wisdom, all her paths are peace. And so if any of you are struggling with anxiety and stress in your life, I would submit to you today, maybe you're on the wrong path, because God says the way of wisdom, all her paths are the way of peace. And so what path are you on today? Like, my hope is by the end of the day today that you will be able to identify where you are on the path. Are you on the path of wisdom? And then our passage today is going to identify four different types of people or four different paths that you can be on. Wisdom is going to be personified, get this, as a woman. Come on, ladies. Amen. Right? And so the women, of course, their wisdom. And so Lady Wisdom is going to be crying out in the streets, and she's going to identify four people. And that's going to be this, the simple, the fool, the scoffer, and the wise. And may we be a people, when they look at our life, we go, that is a wise man, that is a wise woman. So Lord, we pray you give us grace this morning. I'm going to be reading from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. And it reads like this. It says, wisdom cries aloud in the streets, in the markets she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out at the entrance of the city gates. She speaks, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. And so let's see where we are on the path. Are you on the path of wisdom or another one? And so the first one he says is the path of the simple. Let me just read a quick one. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15 says this, the simple believes everything, but the prudent give thoughts to his steps. And so the simple, they're just ignorant. They're not malicious, but they're just kind of ignorant to how life works or the ways of wisdom or the ways of God. And so quick story is this. So fellas, I need to talk to you, particularly husbands this morning. Like, have you ever, you know, you're just going to be the man and you're just going to help your girl because you love her and you're a man after God's own heart, right? And so you're going to help her around the house, do some things, you know, clean some things. And so how many have ever done that and it just went bad for you? A few of us? How many are ever glad it goes bad because then you get out of it for the rest of your life? Uh-huh. See, women, that's our little play, you know, there. But so I know it means, like, every time I go to make the bed, apparently I do it wrong because she's got to go back and fix the pillows because we got 8 zillion pillows on our bed and I didn't get the matrix set up right. Or then my job is I do the dishes at night. But I will do the dishes at night, and then inevitably my wife goes behind me because I've inadequately cleaned the kitchen counters, right? And so so we see that. But then one day I was just feeling especially loving to my wife. And so realizing that one of the love languages are acts of service, I decide I'm going to do the laundry. And so, you know, I went to our laundry room and I get all the color. I don't care what colors are there, dark, white, whatever, man. We just chuck it in the thing. So put it in the thing and do that. And then I see all the women are like, oh. So I went upstairs and then I know my wife got home that night. And fellas, honest to God, in my mind, I'm like, I am going to get lucky tonight or something, right? Because I did the laundry. My wife goes down, and she just gasps/screams, get down here. She comes down, and she pulls out of the dryer this little yellow sweater that looks like it just could, the only thing it would fit would be like a Build-A-Bear or Tickle Me Elmo. And this was her brand new cashmere sweater. And she's like, did you not read the label? And I'm like, who reads the labels? And it's like, wise people read the labels, right? And so I was not the wise man. I was the simple, the ignorant. And ignorant can be cute, ha, 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 ha. But how many know that ignorant is dangerous? And so the simple, their mantra in life is live and learn. Sounds cute, a little pithy statement. How many know there's a lot of blood involved in that? There's a lot of unnecessary beatings and brutality. But wouldn't you much rather learn and live? It's a lot safer. Man, you let other people bleed on your behalf and learn from them, right? How you can be on the path to wisdom. And so here's another thing. I'm a little late to the YouTube game. Like, I think I referenced a while back, I discovered, like, YouTube was like discovering, I don't know, fire for me. Like, it was just the greatest thing. You can YouTube everything. And so my MO, I'm just not a handy guy. If something breaks, it's like, I can't do anything about it. But now I discovered YouTube, and it's revolutionized the way I look at the world. I'm like, I'm starting to bug my wife and my daughter, because anything that breaks, I can fix it. YouTube, right? And that's just kind of my thing. Fix the washer, the impeller. I didn't even know what that was, man, but YouTube helped me. Did the vacuum the other day, and so YouTube was just showing me the way. But here's the, as I recognized, in and of myself, I'm useless. But if I'll humble myself and go to YouTube, someone who knows, someone who's done it, who understands how it works, then I can attain knowledge or wisdom. And that's exactly how the scriptures work. That when we come humbly and we say, God, I don't know, but you're the creator of like everything, you know. And the Bible is unbelievably thorough. Like it covers everything, man, from sex and relationships to, man, how to raise a family and how to do business. And everything is covered in that place. And not only that, but God also gives us the spirit of wisdom, his Holy Spirit on the inside of us, but we have to humble ourselves. And here's the question here this morning is are you on the path of the simple? Where you're just like, hey, you know, that's for pastors and other people, but I'm not going to read the Bible. I'm not going to do that. Listen, you're setting yourself up for unnecessary pain and sorrow. God says it's right there for you. Like, ignorance is not a defense. Like, life could care less if you're ignorant, but if we'll humble ourselves and go to the Word, that's why I love we're reading through the Bible in a year together. It's amazing, man. It just keeps us accountable to each other, but slowly but surely we're adding chokmah, wisdom, skill to our life. And so are you on the path of the simple? Because wisdom's calling out this morning. Man, you need to get on the path of the wise. Here's number two, is this the fool? The fool. So in 1982, if you're 40 or younger, you can Google this, but there was a life-changing film that came out, Rocky III. Do you remember that? Like, some of you guys, the younger people, you have no idea. Like, Rocky III gave us the Eye of the Tiger, like greatest workout song ever. So we got Eye of the Tiger. Do you remember who else we were introduced to? Mr. T. So Mr. T came on, and I don't know if you remember his iconic line. That reporters asked Mr. T, I believe his name was Clubber Lang, and they were like, do you hate Rocky Balboa? I don't hate Balboa. What does he say? I pity the fool, and I will destroy any man who tries to take what I got, right? That's what he said. Sorry, get a little amped up about that. But how about this? As you know that Mr. T is, he's a Jesus guy. And over years of growing up, he's very familiar with the Proverbs, and he remembered reading about the fool over and over and over again. And he felt mercy, a.k.a. pity, for people that lived foolish lives. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26 says this, "Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered." And so the fool, he knows better. Like, he knows what's right and what's wrong, yet somehow he has in his mind, well, hopefully this will work out. Or he's like, hey, I know I shouldn't do this, but maybe I'll be the exception to the rule. And you run headlong into disaster that we know the ending of this story. Let me give you a kind of a cool story. There's a guy, this is back in February 4th, 1912. There's a guy, Franz Reichert. He was a French tailor in Paris, France. He was a tailor / inventor, and he invented the parachute suit. So for men my age, not parachute pants like back in the day, but a parachute suit. And How he did this is beyond me. He got permission from the French authorities to test it out on the Eiffel Tower. And so this guy goes up to the top of the Eiffel Tower in his parachute suit. And his family are like, don't do this. Test it out on a dummy first. He is testing out at a dummy himself, a fool. And as he plunged, he hit the ground so hard, the frozen ground in February, it left a 6-inch indentation in the earth. Can you agree? Fool. But yet, now if I can contrast that with the Wright brothers, if you remember them, like the Wright brothers, what they did is they took a step back and they began to observe God's creation, God's law, how he designed things to work. And here's what they noticed, that boats, despite the fact they were extremely heavy, that if they got that the more speed they got, they were able to plane on top of the water. They had this epiphany. What if we could plane on the air? We could build an airplane. And so they studied aerodynamics. And what happened? They aligned themselves with the way God worked, and they designed a vehicle that would plane on the air, and they soared to the heights of the heavens. And that's what God has for you and I. That when we align our life with the way God designed it, we begin to soar. We can plane on difficult circumstances and things, or you can be like Franz Reich and say, no, I think I know better than you, God, and jump to your own peril. And so so the fool thinks they know better. Jesus is going to say this in Matthew 7. He says, there's a type of person who builds. They build, like they hear my words, but they don't do what I say. And he says, that person is a fool. And the storms of life are going to come and absolutely devastate that life. He calls the person that hears but doesn't do is a fool. And so don't be on the path of foolishness this morning, but on the path of wisdom. Here's the third one, is this, the scoffer. The scoffer. So here's this. This is where the wisdom of God is heard by the scoffer, and it's felt like it's a threat. It's a threat to me. Somehow God's truth is a threat to my truth, so I got to be aggressive against it. It's also called the mocker or the ridiculer. And for the record, I've been all of these people on these paths throughout my life. And so, believe me, wisdom is the way we want to go, all right? And so let me just give you an example today. How many have ever, anybody on Instagram? Several of us? Okay, how many have no idea what Instagram is? Go ahead and Google it. Do you know what Google is? Like, if you don't know what Google is, I can't help you this morning, right? But Instagram, they have Instagram wisdom put up. So there'll be these pithy sayings. How many have heard this one? This is popular in our day. Speak your truth. I don't know if you realize this. That's exact opposite direction of what God says. Like, no. God says, my word is truth. And so do you get this? The mocker is going in the exact opposite direction of where God's saying. And because he's saying, no, go this way, go this way, he finds it offensive to him. Like, I was driving in Manhattan, so I went to pick up Pastor Bruce Ho in Manhattan. It was like 6 a.m. I mean, 6 a.m. on a Saturday morning, it's like the zombie apocalypse, man. There's just like nothing down in Manhattan. And so I pull up to out of the tunnel, bang a right, and I'm going to make a left onto 8th Avenue. And I make the left on 8th, and somebody's just giving me the horn, like ignorant giving me the horn. I'm like, who are you? Don't you tell me. And then as I'm going down, other people are giving me a horn. I'm like, what in the world? These ignorant people, you know? And then I look, and there's a slew of cars coming at me. See, I wasn't turning on 8th. I turned on 9th, and that's going the wrong way. And so that is like, I was the mocker. Who are you? Don't tell me. What's the matter with you? And they're like, fool, you're going the wrong way. And here's another Instagram wisdom. How many have heard this? Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Do you know that's to the opposite direction of what God says? He says the heart is deceitful. Don't trust it. Don't believe it. Here's another one. You do you. You do you. The reality, though, is God says this. No, you do God and you do people. Here's another one. Love is love. No, the Bible says God is love. And that love suffers suffers long, and love is patient, and love is kind, right? And so these are the things. It's going in the opposite direction. But now, listen, can we just be honest? Like, if you're a Christian and you're just going to try to walk in the way of wisdom in 2019, I got news for you. It's not a popular decision. That if you're not going in the direction that the populace is going, they're going to have scoffers and mockers directed your way. You might as well just buckle up and prepare for it. Jesus said, if they hated me, you think they're going to like you? Right? And so now we feel this pressure to just kind of agree with the population, the culture, the wisdom of our day, don't we? I don't know why it is, but my family, we've been watching Family Feud this week. Anybody ever watch it? Like the legit one with Steve Harvey. Like, this dude is so funny. But here's what I love. Like, you guys ever notice this? Like, sure, it's hysterical to watch. And so you watch it, and we had this one, it was years ago. Cassie had to remind me of it. They got up there and they're like, okay, top five answers on the board, 100 people polled. Give me the answer to this question. Name a word that begins with pork. He hits the thing like this. He goes, you pine, right? And Steve Harvey's like, this guy's an idiot. And you know what I love? Everyone's got to go like, good answer, good answer, good answer. Like, no, that's a dumb answer, you know? And so, But we feel compelled to have to clap, and so we can feel a little bit of that today, can't we? That if we don't agree, kind of with and no, but we are going to dig in. We're going to have courage, and we're going to walk the way of wisdom because we love God and we love people. All right. Here's Proverbs 29:8 says this. It says, "Scoffers set a city aflame, but the wise turn away wrath." See, because there's a wisdom of this world that has jerked the wheel out of the hands of God, and it's taking us all over the place, and we are going to crash and burn if we don't do something. And so as believers, we have to step in and just say, no, this is the way of wisdom. Kind of last story here is I've made it clear I'm not a handyman, but I like to pretend that I am. And so I remember I was hanging shelves because that's what men do, and I was hanging shelves in my daughter's bedroom, And so I hung the shelf, and I was actually quite proud of myself. And so I did the deal, and my wife came in, being the mocker and the scoffer that she is, that she came in, and she's like, that shelf is crooked. I'm like, woman, what are you talking about? And like, I'm like, that thing is beautiful. It's perfect. And so we went in, and so they have this thing called a level. And so we got the level, and I'm like, I put that thing on there. It was like way crooked, you know. I was like, ah. You just can't argue with the level. And really, that is our standard of our life. That the Word of God, the ways of God, it's just the level by which we judge life. And so, you know, the world says right, the world says left. No, we get to see God says what's level and what's straight in our lives. And that's what we begin to do. And so Jesus is going to say this. Popular opinion is, he says, wide is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. And I want us to walk in life and that abundantly. And so are you on the path of the scoffer today? That there's things that man, God said something, it almost feels like threatening to you. How could God tell me to do that? And listen, don't buck against God, but humble yourselves and submit to the way of wisdom. But there's a fourth person. I'm gonna ask Kim to come. It's called the wise person. And in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 25, Jesus is finishing a story about how you're to build your life. And he says in verse 24, he says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." He says, "And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded upon the rock." Man, what path are you on this morning? Are you on the path of the fool or the scoffer or the simple? Man, God wants you to be on the path of the wise. It's the path of chokmah, the path of peace. And so if you have unrest or things in your life, maybe you need to look where your feet are and just assess where you are in your life. Ask the Holy Spirit, humble yourself, and say, Lord, show me areas where I'm off the path for my life that you would have. And then just to kind of bring things full circle, Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom, and it's amazing, everything followed. Like, he led the kingdom into peace and prosperity. He built the temple of God. It was one of the wonders of the world. But here's the thing that I want us to point us to. Do you know that thousands of years later, there would be another son of David? His name wasn't Solomon or peace, but they called him the Prince of Peace. They called him the King of Salem or the King of Shalom, the King of Peace. And his name was Jesus. And Jesus, as the multitudes were following him, he made this statement. He says, "Someone wiser than Solomon is here with you today." And then he would entreat people, "Now come and follow me." I would submit to you this, is that the path to peace is less a path and it's more a person. And God wants to introduce you to his son, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.